Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
Moncrief on News Talk.
If you're walking along the street, it's now more often the case than not that most of the people around you will be wearing headphones. Some people wear them all day long. I'm wearing headphones right now. And there have been some recent stories claiming that headphones contain toxic chemicals that could leach into our bodies. Should we all be freaking out? Dr. Sandra Cummings is a consultant audiologist. Afternoon, Sandra.
Hi, good afternoon, Sean. Thanks for having me.
Are headphones made of some deadly toxins?
Well, I mean, you know, they're made of plastics, and it's very, and I read the article that you're talking about, and it's reasonable for listeners to feel worried when hearing terms such as toxic chemicals or cancer-causing linked products linked to cancer and daily use. But detecting chemicals in plastic components does not mean that they're entering the body at harmful levels. Risk depends on the actual transfer and absorption, not just simply the detection of animals. And we know, Sean, that toxicology is dose dependent. Basically, at present, there's no evidence showing that normal headphone use results in measurable or clinical significant chemical absorption. You know, just for most people, the larger exposure to plastics and indoor dust and drinking water and food packaging poses a more threat more than would be headphones, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there is no evidence that they may contain certain toxins, but there's no evidence that this has been transferred and absorbed by the human body.
Yeah, and one imagines that there's probably also like plastic sunglasses and all sorts of plastic things
exactly.
That touch the skin that probably aren't posing much of a threat.
Sure. So, and so just to reiterate, you know, toxicology is dose dependent and transfer and absorption. So when that's not happening and there's no evidence to prove that, then, you know, normal usage is not a concern at all. What we are concerned more about is the what is evidence-based is noise-induced hearing loss. And so that we do know, and that is evidence-based. So we'd probably recommend listening and watching your listening levels and listening periods.
Yeah. Now, what's the 60-60 rule?
So 60-60 rule is that you listen to no more than 60% of the maximum volume for no longer than 60 minutes, and then you take a break. So we encourage using noise-canceling headphones to reduce the need for higher volumes, taking regular listening breaks, and just monitoring signs such as ringing in the ears or tinnitus and muffled hearing. So that's really basically what we would recommend as audiologists from an audiological perspective.
And if people are using their headphones for longer than that, What's the effect on the ear?
Well, you can get noise-induced damage at a particular frequency of 4,000 hertz. So we see a lot of people who work in industry, you know, musicians exposed to loud levels of noise. And that damage at 4,000 hertz in the auditory, the hair cells in the cochlea, that is permanent. So that's what we see. And people out there aren't really aware that noise damage is permanent. And it's we cannot reverse it. So we just have to be aware. And early signs would be, you know, start having ringing in the ears or obvious signs that you're having certain hearing difficulties, particularly in the presence of ambient noise.
Mm. Now, is there any difference if someone's wearing over-ear headphones or the in-ear headphones?
Yeah. So over-the-ear headphones are better because the noise-canceling algorithms are better. You don't need to crank up the volume as high with over-the-ear. Once we use earbuds, and the recent earbuds or AirPods do have some form of noise-canceling algorithm in. So it just means that it will cancel out. It will send out a frequency or a sound wave which will cancel out the ambient noise. But if you don't, but the in-the-ear headphones, you have to increase the volume to deliver the sound to the eardrum. And so you tend to increase the volume in earbuds because of the noise suppression isn't adequate enough. Over the ear, much safer.
Right. Okay. And the, in terms of earwax, do headphones contribute to a build-up of earwax?
They can. I mean, if you you know, have an earwax problem, when you insert them, fortunately, they don't go very deep. So you're not pushing it in like people who use Q-tips and push the wax in too far. You know, I think if there was some wax on the external part of the ear canal, when you take out your earbud, it might be there. It's only if you have real compacted earwax, but then you'd anyway not be hearing properly and you may be following up on that. So I'd say the harm is more using earbuds to deepen the ear canal than using earbuds.
Yeah.
You know, AirPods, yeah.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Yeah. And but should it be, I mean, if someone is wearing headphones a lot for whatever reason,
yes,
should they go and get their ears syringed on a regular basis?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you feel your hearing is impacted or all of a sudden you wake up one morning, this feels a bit dull in one ear, it's always a good idea to go and have it checked out. We can't observe our ear canal ourselves. You need someone to use an otoscope to look down deep in the ear canal. And ear canal occlusion is a very common problem for hearing loss, temporary hearing loss, that is, and also tinnitus. We've seen many patients that come in with significant tinnitus. And once that wax is removed, they're completely relieved of the tinnitus. And obviously the hearing is back to normal. So any time when you feel there's a change in your hearing, it's best to have it looked at by a professional.
One of our listeners, Sandra, wants to know about the bone conductor headphones because they don't go in the ear at all.
Yeah. They're fantastic because we know we hear through our ear canals, through the eardrum in the middle ear, but we also hear through the vibrations of our skull. And the bone conduction headphones are fantastic because you can listen to your music, but you can also hear someone calling you. You can hear a bicycle bell. You can hear a car coming up behind you. So, yeah, they are really good. And bone conduction hearing is excellent, the music transfer.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, excuse me, going back to the hearing loss aspect of this.
Yes.
People, I imagine, could start to lose their hearing and not even realize they're losing it because it happens gradually.
Exactly. And, you know, I always say to people, you actually don't know what you're not hearing. So, you know, but it's when you get into certain situations. So when there's high frequency hearing loss, anywhere where you are exposed to ambient noise, you know, coffee shops, restaurants, public places where there's a lot of background noise, when you're having difficulty and having to ask for clarification more often than the other people around you, then it's maybe time to go and have it checked out. And people will know this. They will know that they're having more difficulty. They tend to not go to noisy places. But really, I always say to people or patients, you actually don't know what you haven't heard. And that's why they think they've got no trouble. Or they'd say, you know, people are just not speaking clearly enough.
Yes.
Well, that's it. So that's when everyone says, you know, my family aren't speaking clearly. It's not that they're not speaking clearly. The person is just not hearing the high frequency consonants to be able to discriminate what the person is saying.
Okay, so in your line of work, Sandra, are you coming across a degree of denial sometimes?
Sometimes, Sean. But, you know, there's so much evidence based now on cognitive fatigue with hearing loss. And people are very aware of cognitive health and hearing health. We want to, you know, have our faculties with us for as long as we can. And when we ignore hearing loss, our brains are working much harder at hearing than they should be. Hearing should not be a cognitive job. So when you are paying too much attention, straining too much, using too much cognitive energy to hear, we're taking away cognitive energy for concentration and memory. And we know that hearing loss per se there's not a direct link to dementia, only for people with high risk conditions. But what it does do, it causes cognitive fatigue. And that's what we want to mitigate against. So, you know, and it's out there. People know about this. There are medical journals talking about this. So, and what I've read somewhere that people are more scared of losing their cognitive function than they are of losing sight and hearing. But anywhere where you're straining too much, whatever it is, you are using too much cognitive energy to listen. And that's taking away from very important cognitive functions.
Yeah. And when you're not hearing everything quite clearly, is the brain attempting to, if you like, fill in the gaps?
It is. It's trying to fill in the gaps. It's trying to draw from memory, contextual cues. What are they talking about? Is it rugby? Is it soccer? Fill in the gaps. All of those functions is taking up more energy than should be. So, yeah, you're working hard. You're trying to fill in the gaps all the time.
Yeah. That's fascinating and a bit worrying too.
You get it wrong and then you feel silly. That's all, you just withdraw. So that's the other concern, is when people have hearing loss, and this would be more extensive hearing loss, they tend to withdraw from social situations. And when we withdraw socially, we're not being stimulated, we're not being part of conversation, we're not using our memory, all those faculties. And that withdrawal is another mitigating factor for cognitive decline and then obviously our hearing health.
Mm. Tinnitus is, in most cases, is it a condition you have to learn to live with rather than it can be cured?
Yeah, I mean, there are certain treatments for tinnitus. You know, if there's hearing loss, so there's a common cause of tinnitus is hearing loss. If we address the hearing loss with the hearing aid, yes, we're going to reduce the tinnitus. When we have tinnitus, especially related to hearing loss, the brain is trying to overcompensate for those defunct auditory signals. And so it creates these phantom sounds, and the phantom sounds is what we perceive as tinnitus. As I said to you, earwax causes tinnitus. Yes, when you can learn to habituate to the tinnitus, so the brain will eventually learn to block it out. But we need to shift the focus away from the tinnitus. So if we improve our hearing, the brain is focused on amplifying other sounds. We don't listen to the tinnitus. Eventually, it goes away. And we know the brain can habituate. Someone can live on a busy road near the dart and eventually not hear it. The brain has said, look, that's not important. I'm going to put it to the background. So, and that's what we use primarily. So, you know, habituation techniques, hearing aids, and then cognitive behavioral therapy, where someone has absolutely normal hearing and the tinnitus is just overcoming them. So there are ways we can certainly address it.
Sandra, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Sandra Cummings there, a consultant audiologist with the Beacon Clinic.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.